Well, good evening. We sure are glad to be here. When I say we, I speak for all of my family. I want you to at least meet my wife, and this is the best wife I've ever had, my wife Lori, and the only one I've ever had. I'm thankful for her. Babe, will you kind of wave your hand there? She's sitting with her parents. Normally, she'll sit with me, and we are glad to be here. Brother Will, thank you for the invitation. We are looking forward to this. We have a family from our church here as well, the Clements. I tried to encourage other people from the church to come, and I even said, you don't have to know, tell anybody that you know me or anything like that, and the Clements were the only one who took us up on it, so good friends of ours, and we're looking forward to a good week here at the ranch. Considering Family Week, here's a thought to kind of get us going for what we'll look at. When you think of fathers in the Bible, who would you think of? Who would be somebody that comes to your mind? I asked my wife this question not long ago, and all we could think of was Father Abraham had many sons, and maybe that's what you think of as well. Who would be the ideal father in the Bible? You know, the man that we're going to look at here in just a moment, we find little to no information about his immediate family. Ironically enough, however, you could find his words displayed in many Christian homes today. So turn with me to those words in Joshua, if you will. Joshua chapter number 24. These are familiar words. 24, and we'll look at verse number 15. Joshua 24 and verse number 15. If we would title the message tonight, it would simply be Joshua, a good example for fathers. So look at Joshua 24 and verse number 15. You can follow along as I read. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, and here are those words that are oftentimes displayed in people's homes. They are in ours, I know. Choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And normally when it's displayed in a home, it's something like, choose you this day whom ye will serve, dot, dot, dot. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Those are good words, and we can learn from them, and that's our goal this evening. So let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and we're grateful for people in the Bible who are examples to us that can help us, that we can glean truths from, and I pray that that would be the case as we look at the life of Joshua. And I pray specifically that it would be a challenge and a help to fathers, and we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Again, we find little about Joshua and his dealings with his own family apart from this verse. And yet I think this verse does speak volumes. It was spoken when Joshua was old, but I'm convinced it was instituted long before he ever spoke it in Joshua 24 and verse number 15. And here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to draw a parallel of Joshua and the children of Israel to a father or a parent with their children. Do you understand my point? So that maybe we would word it this way, how Joshua fathered or parented the children of Israel. And there's no doubt that what he did with the children of Israel, and we'll look at examples in just a moment, really is summarized in these words that are often displayed in our home. Choose you this day whom ye will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I find in our text three statements that are implied. So let's look at them. Number one, I think you see clearly in Joshua 24, verse 15, a statement of leadership on Joshua's behalf. He says, but as for me and the word and there is key, my house. That's a statement of leadership. It wasn't just something I'm going to do, Joshua said. He understood his role as the leader of his house. So it's a statement of leadership, but as for me and my house. Just a couple of simple thoughts. It wasn't Mrs. Joshua who was speaking these things. She wasn't the spokesman or woman for the family. Now, that might be politically correct, but that's not how it happened here in Joshua 24. He understood his position as the leader. And I want you to know, as men, you are the leaders of your home. That is your God-given responsibility. Joshua didn't check with his family and see what the consensus was. Okay, guys, let's get together. And again, we know little about his family, kiddos, wife, and so forth. But he didn't say, look, we've got to do something here. And what do you think we should do? There's no indication that that's what he did. This is a statement of leadership. He didn't say, look, I'm going to follow the Lord and maybe my family will join me. He's the captain of the ship. He's the leader of his home. He made the decision. He was a father that was the right kind of father. He was a leader. So just very practically, here's the question for you as a dad. Are you the leader of your home? Don't look to your wife and say, am I, dear? Are you the leader of your home? A statement of leadership is implied. Notice as the leader what Joshua does. Again, we're going to make the parallel here between Joshua and the children of Israel. Turn to chapter 22 and verse number 5, if you will, and we're going to turn to several passages throughout Joshua. Chapter 22, and look at verse number 5. And you'll notice that as the leader, Joshua gave godly counsel. Now, that's important, I think, for a father, to be the one who is giving godly counsel in his home. Look at verse 5. He said, but take diligent heed to do the commandments and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God. Now, let me pause here for a moment and say this. If every dad could do this with their family, what a difference it would make. To be the leader who would say, look, love the Lord your God. Think about it, Dad. When's the last time you communicated that to those who you are over in your family? We're going to love the Lord. And you're not doing well at it, and so I'm the leader, and let me show you how I can help you do well at loving the Lord. So to love the Lord your God and to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments. You say, Brother Cole, I'm not a pastor. Am I supposed to say these things to my family? Yes. You're the leader. To keep his commandments and to cleave unto him and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. When's the last time, Dad, this was the type of counsel you were giving in your home? We'll go back to the verse in just a moment. There are a lot of reasons perhaps a dad would say, maybe I'm doing this or maybe I'm not. Some of them, and I've heard this, well, they get that stuff at church. Well, if you have your family in a church that is giving this kind of counsel, that's a good church. But there's a problem. Unless you live there and are there day in and day out, they're not going to get it every single day. And by the way, the church is not to be the leader of your home. You are as the father. Some in full-time ministry say, look, I'm in full-time ministry. They'll catch on to it. You know, they'll just maybe assimilate to it, and it'll just, through osmosis somehow, they'll realize this is what they're supposed to do. It's not the ministry that leads your home. It is your responsibility to give godly counsel in your home. That's what Joshua did. He is an example of a leader. So why doesn't this happen? Why would a dad flounder, waver, fail? Well, here's a thought. Maybe it's because you're not heeding that advice yourself. You know, it's awful hard to give this kind of counsel when you're not taking the same medicine. Look at chapter 23, if you will, in verse 11. Maybe as a dad, you're saying, okay, Brother Coyle, chapter 22, verse 5 is a very convicting verse. It's not where I find myself. So look at chapter 23, verse 11. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves that you love the Lord your God. This has been mentioned, and it really is true. It's crucial that you walk with the Lord yourself if you're going to be the right kind of leader that your family needs. So go back to 22 and verse 5, and let's look at it. But take diligent heed to do the commandments and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you to love the Lord your God. Is that what you're teaching your family, Dad? Is that the kind of example, the leadership that you are portraying to your wife and to your children, the importance of loving the Lord your God? Now, I don't know how you would do that. If it's with your wife, maybe it's just a sit-down type conversation, talking amongst yourself, saying, look, whatever this trial brings, sweetheart, we're not going to waver from the Lord. We're going to love Him. We're going to stick with Him through this. God is in control of this, and no matter what happens, we are not going to waver from God. When God seems silent, when we don't understand why God is doing this, we are not going to bail on God. Take somebody who's the leader to do that. To love the Lord your God and to walk in all His ways. Hey, guys, kids, this is the way we're doing it. This is what the Bible says. I know we're going to go this way and everybody else is going to be going this way, but we're going to walk in His ways. That's leadership. That's a dad's responsibility to keep His commandments. We're going to do what's right. To cleave unto Him. To draw closer to Him. You know, that's a never-ending effort. And I think you're interested in that. You've come to Family Week. You want to draw closer to God. You want to cleave unto Him and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. I don't know what you say to your family, but I would think a dad needs to say to his kids, look, I hope that your interest in life is serving God with all your heart. Look, I don't know what my kids will be when they grow up, whatever that means. But here's always been my desire, that they love the Lord and they want to tell people about the Lord wherever God places them. I think that's important. And you know what? I'm pointing them that way right now. They're hearing that from me. You want to know why? Because I think it's my responsibility. It's a statement of leadership. So Joshua gives godly counsel. Look at chapter 8, verse number 34. A statement of leadership. Chapter 8, verse number 34. The word of God was read to them. This is basic and rudimentary, in my opinion. And afterwards, he read all the words of the law, the blessings and cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conversant among them. So the importance of reading the word of God to your family. This is a very practical aspect of it. You say, I want to be the leader. How can I do it? Get your Bible. Read it and know it yourself. And teach it to your family. Read the word of God to your family. I've been going through the book of Hebrews. And as I go through Hebrews, there's a lot in it that's difficult, but my mindset is, how can I teach this to my children, to my family? How can we, in a family devotion setting, sit down where I can read and try to make applicable to them what the Bible says? Now you're saying, well, you think that because you're a preacher and that's just where your mind is. No, here's what I think. I think if you said, dear Lord, I want my children to know the Bible and I want to be able to teach it to them, God, would you help me to understand so I can relay it to them? I think God would do that. It's what leadership is about, reading the word of God to them. That's what Joshua did. This is your responsibility as a leader. Do you know that sometimes being a leader can be lonely? It can be. Do you know that when Joshua made this statement in chapter 24 and verse number 15, he had no guarantee that anybody else was going to follow him. It was kind of like the line was drawn in the sand. You're either with me or you're against me. And I tell you what, any man who's ever taken that position as a leader knows, what are they going to do? But somebody's got to lead. And it can be lonely. And you know what? Sometimes the people you're leading aren't as excited about what you're excited about. You know, mom may want to quit. And the kids may resist. And a lot of times a dad will say, well, look, I know that was the right thing to do, but my wife wasn't on board and the kids weren't on board. And so, you know, I wasn't going to rock the boat. I didn't want to ruffle any feathers. Well, your problem was this. You quit because you weren't a leader. It's lonely sometimes. There have been times where I've said, this is the way it's going to be, and everybody gave me the, look, I'm at peace with God. This is what we're doing. Said it always turn out right? None of your business. And so all I knew is that's what God said. And it's turned out right more often than not. And so, look, Dad, here's what I think you need to see. God's going to lead through you in your home. And you've got to know that still, small voice. Nobody else hears it. Nobody else understands necessarily. And they don't have to, as long as you do. But as for me and my house, I'm the leader. I'm going to take that position. And this is what we're going to do. And lead like God would have you to lead. Dad, are you the godly leader that your family needs? You ought to be. You can be. You should be. So we see implied here a statement of leadership. Secondly, I think you see implied here a statement of separation. We're back at chapter 24 and verse number 15. And he says, choose. So there was an obvious choice. Who are you going to separate to? Is it going to be the world or is it going to be the Lord? And Joshua is basically saying, look, we're not going to do what the world's been doing. We're not going to do what everyone else has been doing. It really is a statement of separation. And from a practical standpoint, if you're going to live separated, here's something you're going to have to deal with in your home. Sin. It's going to creep in. Did it under Joshua's leadership? Turn to Joshua chapter 7, if you will. A well-known portion of this book is Joshua chapter 7 and the story of Ai and this man by the name of Achan. Sin had crept into the camp with Israel. And I think it's honest to say to a parent, there's going to be times when sin creeps into your home. And you cannot be separated if you don't deal with the sin. Whatever it might be. It might be rebellion. It could be a vast array of things. Whatever the sin is. How do you deal with sin? You get rid of it. Look at verses 6 through 9 of chapter 7. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan. This is after they tucked their tails and ran at Ai. O Lord, verse 8, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us around and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? Look, Joshua feared the testimony of God more than he feared his testimony of his leadership. Here's what I'm saying. A lot of times parents will avoid dealing with sin because they're afraid of how it might make their family look. What are people in the church going to think? We've got to deal with this. People have always looked up to us. More important than that is honoring the Lord. Realize, look, let the chips fall where they may. We're going to do what's right. We're going to be separated from any sin that wants to creep into our house. And you look at verse number 12 of chapter 7, and the Bible says, therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies. Do you know, if you let sin into your home and you're not separated, the battles that you will face will end in defeat because you've not dealt with the problem. We're not to manage it. We're not to keep it to a minimum. We're to destroy it. You say, that's kind of harsh. Look at verse number 24. Same chapter, and Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garments, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had. And they brought them into the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. I would define that as getting rid of it. That's how you deal with sin. And it's going to creep in, and you have to deal with it properly. But it is a weak spine and an incompetent dad, if you'll allow me to be frank, who'll say something like this. Look, if we see you watching that again, the TV's coming out of your room, pal. What? If we catch you on that website again, you are grounded. Look, the computer's coming out of your room, the iPad's coming out of your room, your internet phone's coming out of your room, and it's done. That's not separation. You got to get rid of it. And can I say to you as a parent, be careful if indeed you even do allow your children on the internet. Because sin will creep into your home a lot faster than you think. You've been on the internet and just looking for something innocently and some garbage pops up. Don't allow that. Control it. Get whatever you have to do. It's not worth the consequences. And I will say to you, you will live in defeat as a family if you allow that kind of garbage. You got to get rid of it. Get rid of the internet. How do you live? Well, the way you did 10 years ago without it. If you come in late again, we're taking the keys to your car. It's the third time we've told you. That's how a lot of dads run the ship. Do you know when the sin was gone for the children of Israel, the battle was won, Ai was defeated? What was the difference? When they went in the first time, there was sin. When they went in the second time, they dealt with sin. Can you put that together? Make that work in your brain for how to run things at home? You've got to live separated. Choose. Dad, you're the leader. Decide we're going to be separated. I wonder if you're saying in the quietness of your godly heart, you're crazy, preacher. We could manage it. We're okay. We're fine. And the tragedy is your life will illustrate what the Bible clearly teaches. You've got to deal with sin. You don't keep it in check. If it's sin, you get rid of it. It's that simple. And so you see this statement of separation. Number three, I think you find a statement of commitment. Back in chapter 24 and verse number 15, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. They'd made a commitment. This is what we're going to do. Joshua is simply saying, my house is committed to the Lord. Do you know that what God had promised for Joshua and the children of Israel, he kept those promises? You're in chapter 24. Turn back to 21 and look at verse number 43. This is really building up to this verse that we know so well in verse 15 of chapter 24. But look at chapter 21 and verse number 43. And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. Verse 44, and the Lord gave them rest round about according to all that he sware unto their fathers. And there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. Verse 45, there failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. So that, look, God had done what he promised. So now when you get to chapter 24 and you get to verse number 15, Joshua is drawing this to a head. And he's saying, look, if it seems evil unto you, stop and think about this. You've seen what God has done. You heard what God promised. And the verse tells us all of it came to pass. So if this seems evil unto you, God has done what he's promised. He deserves our commitment. And I say to you, that's true even today. From all of us. And he calls them on it. Come on. Commit yourselves to God. Is that what you're saying, Dad, at home? Is that the model which you run by? Well, I don't want to drive them away. I don't want to push them too much because I might drive them away. And, you know, I think probably there's some balance to that. I'm just going to wait for the Lord to lead them. Well, here's a novel idea. Maybe you should be that leader that God uses with your family. Are you concerned about commitment to God in your family? Encourage your family to commit to God. We're going to be committed to what God wants. You know, when you get to, look at verse 16, right after verse 15 there in chapter 24. And the people answered and said, so they've heard what Joshua said. He's laid it out there to them. The people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Now look at the end of this verse. Therefore, we will also serve the Lord, for he is our God. Wouldn't you know they followed? Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing to see in your home? We're going to be committed to the Lord. I wonder if I can look at this from a dad's perspective and say this to you, maybe that's what your kids are waiting for. Maybe it's what they're waiting for a dad to say, this is the way we're going to do it. You say, Brother Coyle, we've gone down the wrong way so long, so often. It's been hard. It's been difficult. Well, you got to start somewhere. And I just believe this, and if I'm wrong, then I'm wrong. I just think if you'll throw yourself at the mercy of the Lord and say, God, we want to do what you say, I think the Lord will honor you that way. I think he will. Amen. It's the kind of God we read about in the Bible. Amen. Second chances, mercy. The Bible tells us God delights in mercy. Amen. Can give us what we need in our lives. You know, this didn't mean that Joshua was perfect. You say, boy, you're painting quite a picture here, preacher. You know, I don't know of anybody like this. Joshua wasn't perfect. He made mistakes. In chapter 9, you find that Joshua failed to seek the counsel of God with the inhabitants of Gibeon. It was a mistake. It was a bad mistake. I'm not in any way articulating that you need to be absolutely perfect. I'm just saying, look, if you're not right, make it right. and remain committed to God. And so I find Joshua a good example for fathers. There's the importance of leadership, the importance of separation, and the importance of commitment. So, Dad, we've kind of targeted you. Where do you stand with this? Are you being that leader? Is your home a separated home? What are you allowing into your house? Through a television, through the internet, through some rental DVD, whatever it is, through some type of music, through dress. The list could go on and on and on. You've got to be separated. And are you committed? You know, it's easy to be excited about doing right here at the ranch. It's a wonderful thing to be here because it's a shot in the arm. It's a boost. It's good for you. But you'll not be here beyond this week. Right. You'll go back home, and that's good. You're going to begin to function in life again wherever it is that God has placed you. Be a leader. Be separated. And be committed. Joshua, I think a good example for fathers. Let's have our heads bowed and eyes closed.